Hello again, and welcome back to Happy Hour. 欢迎你又回到酒馆。
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Under the Microscope, advanced episode. Hi, Lulu.
Hi, James.
And we're continuing our talk about camping.
Yeah.
And we're going to start off by talking about this outdoor spirit that many Americans have.
Yeah, I would say this is quite unique.
It's not completely unique. I mean, Australians also have a fairly outdoor spirit, too.
Yeah, I guess for Chinese, for us, this is quite different.
Yeah.In America, I would say this outdoor spirit really will take place in the view of a lot of Americans think it's a good thing to go out and experience nature, be in the outdoors, camping, hiking, and seeing what's in their surroundings.
Would you say that Americans would prefer outdoors to, like, say, city breaks when it comes to holidays?
I don't know if I can make that much of a general statement, but I would say that that's not uncommon because a lot of people want to get away from the hustle and bustle of a big city in a more quiet and relaxed, natural environment.
That also is because that you guys have a lot of nature.
Yes, we don't have much for historical sites, but we sure do make up for it in natural beauty.
And it's also...partially because you guys get trained since a very early age.
Well, some of us do, because there are a lot of organizations in America that deal with this outdoorsiness.
Like Boy Scouts.
Right, like Boy Scouts, there's Girl Scouts, and there are other organizations too, but those are the two most famous ones.
I have so many questions about Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts.
Well, good news is I was a Boy Scout for most of my youth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess that can in itself be another episode, but today let's just brush upon it as talk about some of the basics. Boy Scouts, is that for everyone?
I wouldn't say it's for everyone because, you know, not everyone's interested in this kind of activity, but it is open to most people. And while it says Boy Scouts, there are programs in Boy Scouts that girls can also join.
So girls can join Boy Scouts? What about Girl Scouts then?
Boys cannot join but Girl Scouts.
That's very double standard.
I don't make the rules.
When can you join?
You can start scouting at a very early age, like 5-6 years old. You can start with like the young children programs, and you can do scouting all the way up until you're like 21 years old.
Is scouting mostly about outdoorsy things like nature and how to, you know, survive in nature and all these relevant skills?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. So a lot of times you spend in scouting, you learn things like how to build campfires, different types of knots, how to tie rope, how to set up your tent. I learned how to use pocket knives and things like this. All these outdoorsy skills.
Who do you learn it from? It's not called a teacher. Is it called like an instructor?
We learn them from our scoutmasters.
Oh, they're called scoutmasters.
Yeah.
And I always remember that a few years ago, there was this really popular animated film called Up. And in that film, there was this kid, Russell.
Yeah, he was supposed to be representing Boy Scouts.
He was collecting all these badges. It seems like you complete certain tasks and you get a badge.
Yeah, I think I earned something like 24. I don't remember what all of them are, but it's been a long time. But yeah, we do. And each badge has a different activity. Like badges I had a camping badge. I had a wilderness survival badge. I had a cooking badge. I had first aid badge. And that was a pretty long list.
It's really like a gaming experience. Like every time you complete a task, you get a badge.
Well, if you want to Because Boy Scouts also has ranks. Like, I achieved the highest rank in Boy Scouts. Yeah, I'm a little
bit... You're really a hardcore scout.
Actually, yeah, I was.
Well.
So you need those badges in order to advance in rank.
And do Boy Scouts, for example, do all the members, do they take trips away from their parents?
Yeah, that was the best part.
So basically going out with your friends and for a camping trip.
You're out with your friends, you're out with your scoutmasters, and your trips when you're doing with Boy Scouts usually have a purpose, so you're going to do something when you're out there. Like we learned skills while we were out camping. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun.
On top of scouting, there are also just general community clubs. Like my father is a part of a horse riding camping club.
Oh, so they have camping clubs that are geared towards specific skills.
Yeah, there are camping clubs that specialize in camp cooking, and they'll do cooking competitions. There'll be camping clubs for elderly people, and the list is pretty long.
Those are very, very specific clubs. Mm. So these are the organizations that kind of encourage that sort of outdoorsy spirits.
Absolutely. Mm.
This is still all just camping, but there are other types. They're more like extreme styles or like variations of camping. For example, like backpacking.
Yes, well, let's explain the difference between types of backpacking, because there's the American style backpacking, what Americans think of and what a lot of Europeans think of.
A lot of Europeans will probably think of carrying a huge backpack and do city breaks in some of the other parts of the world.
Right. We carry a big backpack with a lot of stuff. But in Americans' mind, when you're going backpacking, you're going into the mountains for a week, carrying everything with you.
So it's only in the wild, in the wilderness. It's only in nature.
Yeah. So to our mind, a backpacking trip is like, we're going over the next week to hike 150 kilometers in the mountain, camping the whole time. And it's a pretty hardcore activity, yeah.
So did you do a lot of backpacking?
No, I'm not a big fan of it because I like hiking and I like camping. I don't like to hike to go camping.
Suppose that makes sense. And what else apart from backpacking?
Well, the other one is like snow camping, and I've done this one. And this is quite literally, you're camping in winter in places with heavy snow.
Okay.
And this
provides... Why? This sounds like torturing yourself to me.
I like playing in snow. It's fun.
Okay.
But camping in snow brings its own level of challenge. Mm. Obviously, the cold is one. Building a fire is really challenging on snow.
Yes. How do you even do that?
This will sound a little bit strange, but you put wood on the snow, and then you put a metal pan on the wood. And then you put the fire, more wood in the pan, and build the fire in the pan.
So you kind of have like a pedestal, and then you put the...
But it will melt the snow below it.
Mm. And I've also heard of something called no-impact camping. Is that more about environmental protection?
Absolutely. This is about a type of camping style where people go out to nature and try to leave as little trace of them being there as they can. They take... The basic idea is everything you take in... You bring out, and I do mean everything.
What, so you mean if you go to toilet, you have to carry that stuff with you?
Yeah, you wouldn't leave your number two in the nature.
Okay. That certainly is really zero impact camping.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing that has been quite popular in recent years is called glamping, like glamour camping.
Yeah, I just learned of this not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So glamping is basically doing outdoorsy activities, but not exactly with the
roughing it.
Yeah, that's a good way. You going back to that word.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have these like modern facilities, like a fancy treehouse.
Yeah. So it's more like a resort.
Yeah.
It's more like a resort, but it's set in nature.
That's not camping at all.
Yeah, but that's more my style of camping. I would love to go glamping. So after all of these talk about camping itself, let's talk about one other thing. And nowadays, as a lot of Chinese tourists, they go to United States or they go to places like Australia, they like to rent something called RV, like recreational vehicle. So they, it's basically, it's like a mobile home, right? So they just...
Yeah, basically, it is a house on wheels. They're a really big car, or some in case they look like a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And inside they have a small kitchen, bedroom, toilet, shower, all these kind of facilities. And many campsites have special spots for RVs that you can connect the power and water so you can use them. Obviously, that stuff's not free. You do have to pay for that.
That's also a variation of camping. I mean, you don't sleep outside, but you still go around in nature.
Well, I disagree with that. I don't think it was camping. It's just taking your home with you.
Yeah.
But this is actually very expensive, because buying an RV is really expensive. And there are some Americans that this is their retirement plan. They buy an RV so they can travel around the country. And when they want to visit their family, they just bring their RV in front of their house and park it.
You can park it there and plug into water and electricity. But RV, I mean, yes, for sure, it's quite expensive to buy. But to rent, it's quite practical. You can rent it because if you think about traveling around, as for example, as a Chinese tourist, if you travel around the United States, you will have to pay for hotel and all that. But if you rent an RV, you can get everything done, essentially. It is everything together. It's your transport, it's your lodging, everything together.
Yeah, there are a few downsides to that, but it is entirely possible to rent them and be more affordable than buying one if you lived in America. And it is a good way to both travel the country and having a place to stay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not a bad idea.
On a practical note, is it easy for Chinese travelers to do that? I mean, do you have to have a special license or?
Well, it depends. On a smaller RV, you probably can just use a regular driver's license. But the big RVs at the size of a bus, yeah, you'll need a special license to drive those because they are, well, like in China, a bus driver needs to be taught how to drive a bus.
Yeah, we have a different license for that.
Yeah, same thing for the big, long RVs because they're the size of a bus. They're harder to drive.
So I guess if you are interested in traveling in like huge countries like United States or Australia, renting an RV would perhaps be an option.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I think on that note, we're going to wrap up. Hopefully you've learned a bit more about camping, this big part of American culture, in these two episodes. And if you have any comments or if you have any experiences to share, please feel free to leave it in the comment section.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.